But wait now. What's up, bro?
Hey, yo. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Ready for the weekend, bro.
It's all good. Dude, I thought you were pissed at me with the Celtics tweet last week.
No, man. Hey, you know what? Anything anybody says about Celtics, I can't be mad, dude.
No, it's fine. I shouldn't have gone at you anyways. It was shitty.
No, I'm being serious. Like, I'll talk shit back to you, but I can't be mad. You can talk shit. Celtics, I mean, you know, hey, we were really arrogant this summer. The fans, the team, so.
Well, you know, you had everybody buying in, including myself. I thought they were going to be really good this year. I mean, by the way, on a scale of 1 to 10 worrying about them, I'm at like a 2. I'm not worried at all. They're gonna figure it out.
I'm the same. I'm not that stressed. It's just like, you know, it's almost like, I don't know. Again, my analogy is like the really cool Christmas toy for your kid, the must have. Mm-hmm. You've seen all the commercials, and then when the time comes and it shows up on your doorstep, it's like all the assemblies required and you got to paint it. And you got to weld. So it's, you know, yeah, it's like a lot of work takes to put it together. So at the end, you're going to have that same toy, but it's just not as cool as just it's showing up complete. So,
yeah, totally. I'm with that. I still think they're going to be fine. Yeah.
Hold on, you son of a bitch.
Yes.
Are you recording right now?
Oh, yeah, of course. What did you think?
Nah, I know. It's all good. Hey, man.
Yes.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Jimmy Butler's been awesome.
Yeah, right? He's been good.
I'm James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin'. That's Joe Borelli, a.k.a. Joe Borelli. And this is Dunk Tales Pod number
27, I think.
I was going to say 33, so good shot.
You're close.
Good job. It's been a while. We skipped the Thanksgiving week. Kind of not on purpose. I know we were supposed to, but I kept telling you like tomorrow and then I fucked off. So my bad.
No, it's all right. You know what? Everybody needs a break. It was the holidays. What are you going to do? I need a break. You need a break. Everybody needs a break. It's fine. Sorry to everybody out there in Twitterville and podcast land who likes to listen to this show, but well, all five
people. We appreciate it.
Exactly.
You know,
all five of you are the best.
Yeah, but for real, I mean, I don't care. I'll do the show every week for the rest of my life because I love talking basketball. Jimmy Butler looks really good. He looked really good. I think you're going to agree with me here, though, but like getting him kind of accelerates the whole timeline of the quote-unquote process.
Yeah, well, I think it's a result of accelerating the process. I don't think they were expecting what happened last season when they won 52 games. I think right there, just by Embiid being so good and Ben Simmons being like an outstanding rookie, that accelerated the timeline right there. So getting Butler was just like, it's now. Like it's happening sooner than we thought. We got to do this now. There's no sense in waiting. I think also having Markel just be whatever Markel is right now made it clear that they needed to get that third star because they were hoping he was going to be the guy. Clearly they traded up to get him. They gave the Celtics that pick and the Kings pick to get him and didn't turn out so great. So I think right there they knew, well, first of all, they knew that they needed more firepower. You watched them. I was going to, by the way, when we're talking about the Celtics, I have the perfect cure for the Boston Celtics. Make them play Philadelphia. They always get up for that game. they love to beat them. That's all they need to get back on track. But you saw when they played the Celtics and the rest of the time this year, the Sixers, their offense had not been good. Like, I love Robert Covington. I would take him back in a second. And I love Dario. But when you're trading up for a guy like Jimmy Butler, yeah, it accelerates your timeline. But I think it was, you know, he's a result of the automatically accelerated timeline just by virtue of the guys being so good.
Now, see, here's the thing I'm going to ask you. And it's like process versus results. Like, if you already have your time frame, like Embiid is how old? 23?
Yeah.
23?
Yep.
Simmons is 22?
Yep.
Right? 21, 22?
Actually, I think it's 24 and 23 now. Yeah.
That's fine. Either way, my point is they're both really young. They're not even in their prime yet. Mm-hmm. Like, why does it have to be right now? Like, it's still the age of Golden State. You know, the Celtics are—they're not like, you know—they're demonstrative. They were demonstratively better, like way better than what we saw in that first round series, right? That right now the Celtics are probably more equipped to, you know, even though right now they're kind of scuffling, they're probably the superior team. I think the Raptors this year have shown that they're, you know, the best team in the East, and you know it hurts me to say it because I thought it'd be the Celtics. So why does it have to be right now? Like, why, what does the regular season matter that much? Like, we saw that, you know, sure, they won the first round series against the Heat, which we know. I think the Heat are just not a good team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, that's great. Why would you just stay with your process and say, all right, well, we want to develop Fultz. We want to be – the record doesn't matter. We want to be the best team we can be. We know Embiid's awesome. Simmons is awesome. We need to find more shooting. But, like, so why do you feel it had to be right now?
Well, it's a weird thing because, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's obviously – they're still going to take some time to gel. Here's the thing about it. You do it this early in the season so that by the time the playoffs come around, the guys are fully in. They're all playing together. They're used to playing together. They, you know, they've gotten used to the system and they have, you know, they're used to playing together. As far as the right now, it's, you know, the only thing I can say is that, like, yeah, it's way ahead of schedule. You're absolutely right. I didn't think this year, I thought would be the year that they maybe would win, you know, enough to get 52 wins and maybe, you know, the third seed in the East, possibly. Last year, I thought it was just going to be like, if they sneak into the playoffs, it's going to be an incredible feat. And they way outperformed expectations last year. So, and I just think when you saw them play the Celtics in the playoffs last year, and then the first game of the season, they played the Celtics again, and they hadn't improved at all. They hadn't really added anything. They didn't do anything to the roster. And Dario and Robert Covington, as great as Covington is, Covington, you know, you could keep Covington on this team and he would be a huge addition. Dario was just not meant for this team, I think, just because he's more effective with the ball in his hands and you have Ben here. And I don't know, he's a really good player, but that's, you trade those guys to get a guy like Jimmy Butler. But anyway, I think that.
Wasn't Dario about to enter restricted free agency next summer?
Right.
Is that right?
And so you're going to have to pay him in 2020. He was going to, you know, you're going to have to, you would have to sign him next year or he would, you know, yeah, he would go into, I think, unrestricted free agency next year. Yeah. And Covington was on a sweetheart deal and you would love to keep him around, but because of that deal and because he is so damn good on defense, you know, he's way too valuable. Anybody would have wanted him in a trade. So I
want to make sure I want to make this clear to any listeners. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have traded for Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler is a top, right at the borderline top 10 player, whatever you want to call him. He's really good. I'm not saying they shouldn't have because that's not the move. I think it was a mistake. Obviously, the mistake in hindsight is easy to say now was trading for Markelle Fultz, yeah, right? Because him being the mess that he is this year, that's what really torpedoed the whole thing. They needed a third star. And he obviously wasn't it right now. I'm not saying he can't be eventually. I can't imagine a case where even Oladipo, you know, year one and two was like, you know, 15, 16 points per game.
Yeah. Oladipo didn't figure it out until year five, man.
But that's different. But like still, again, yeah. he was still an effective NBA player. He was like a starter level player. Yeah. He wasn't great for the number two pick, but like he averaged like 16, 4-4, like year one or something or 15. So like, that's even, he's not the franchise player, but he was still imagine Oladipo year one playing with Embiid and Simmons. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's different, man, but I'm not saying, I feel bad for the kid.
I mean, everybody feels bad for him. It's sad because like, here's the thing. I watch every Sixers game, you know this, and I really started to see Markelle come around, particularly on the defensive end, and I keep saying this.
At times.
He was making improvements though. He was getting there. He'd stopped shooting threes and he wasn't shooting mid range very well. And the problem was that when he was on the floor, he would just like because he doesn't shoot and Simmons doesn't shoot, they just clogged the paint. Everything was clogged. So when they were in tight situations, you can't trust Markelle to not score. You can't trust him to like maybe just miss a guy on defense. He's still young. He's still 20 years old. Like, he needs time and maybe another location to grow. But after this whole debacle, man, I can't see a world in which the Sixers keep him.
Because they've made the trade for Jimmy Butler. I think before they were trying to work on it, but yeah, they lost patience really quick.
No. I don't think it's because of the Jimmy Butler. Let's be clear. I don't think it's because of the Jimmy Butler trade. I think like Jimmy Butler even came out and said, like, we're all rooting for him. We all love the kid. We want him to get right. It's not because of that. It's because when he got benched last week in favor of TJ McConnell because they were losing the game and TJ brings a tenacity on defense that is really valuable to this team. And they hadn't – they're
absolutely
not-
because of the Jimmy Butler trade. Because otherwise, guess what? You take your lumps. You don't care about winning or losing games. You say, all right, we're playing the long game with Markelle Fultz. We're going to see what we got here. I'm gonna, and I'm not saying like Jimmy Butler's fault, but I mean, like, again, everything, it's like the butterfly effect. You know what I'm saying? You don't bring Jimmy Butler in, then you could, then you know that Markelle's a guy. He's a little more confident in his place in the standings of the team. But you know, it's the writing was on the wall when they started benching him second half. So either you start the kid and you give him this minutes or you don't. And when they started doing that benching the second half nonsense, I had an ominous feeling this was coming.
Let me qualify real quick. I think Jimmy Butler's trade makes him expendable. I don't think he's being traded because of Jimmy Butler. I think it's because he went to and said, listen, I'm injured again. I need to go see a specialist. I'm not going to be working with the team. I'm not going to be traveling with the team. And he's sitting out until he goes to a specialist, I guess, yesterday, and then he's going to see more in the rest of the week. And they're just like, the team was totally blindsided by it. They had no idea what was going on and that it was coming. And like, in one respect, it seems like he's just, it's sour grapes on his part. I don't really think that's it. I think it's his trainers trying to do damage control, or his lawyer slash
agent.
Yeah, his agent trying to do damage control and be like, oh, he wasn't really benched because he's not good. He was not benched because he's not healthy. And like, it's just become a shit show. I just don't think there's a way going forward. What were you going to say?
Just my one concern going forward is that I still worry about the lack of shooting in Philly. Like, Butler's great, but you know, we see that there's times when how do you lose the Cavs, man? And I get it. It's regular season, doesn't matter, but this is a team that's supposed to be coming together. They still need more shooting. I think it's just, I was watching the game the other day and watching how far the defense's playoff of Ben Simmons is comical.
Yeah.
And I get it. He's great, man. He's, I'm not saying, but come on, dude. Somebody was trying to compare him to Giannis the other day. And I said, guess what? In his first 2 years, Giannis still took like over 150 threes. And he made like 35 of them or something. And he wasn't good at all. But, you know, the point is he was still taking them.
Right.
Like,
that's what I keep saying.
It makes such a difference, man. Or he's not scared to pull up from mid-range. Giannis will. He'll take a little fade away from, you know, 16. And like, it's just different, man. It's so weird.
I respect that he's holding on to this, and like, Ben Simmons is still an incredibly effective basketball player without shooting mid-range or three-point shots. It's unbelievable how talented he is. But in order for him to ever realize his full potential, and for this team to ever realize their full potential as a championship possibly caliber team, he's going to have to add that shot at some point, and some point soon. If you even just shoot one or two three, like if he shoots one three a game and he makes it at like, I don't know, a 25 to 30% clip, that's at least still something. They still have to come out and honor that, and they have to guard him, you know? Not shooting at all.
They won't guard him. That's the problem. He needs when he's open, he needs to shoot it. I don't care. It has to be more than one a game. He has to shoot three or four threes a game. And yeah, like you said, if he makes 25% of those, then that's fine. He just has to – he can't just be – like even the fact that Andre Robertson well, that's a bad example because they don't guard him out there.
Yeah.
But like Marcus Smart is like a 26, 27% three-point shooter, maybe even worse right now. And somehow teams still guard him as a shooter. It's the weirdest thing.
He always makes them in the clutch. He always makes them when they count. That is the weirdest thing.
Exactly. You got to be a threat. Yeah. Even like the Celtics offense operates better with him out there, even when he's shooting a lot of and missing threes. And somehow he still gets guys on pump fakes and drives by him. And he attacks closeout. So.
Yeah, you're right. It probably does need to be more than one per game, but still, I mean, like he really needs to add some shooting to his game. It has to happen for, like I said, for him and the team to reach their full potential. I don't know. The addition of Jimmy Butler, the reason they get a guy like that, did you see the 3-point shot to close the game against Charlotte, and then it was against, who did they beat the last time?
Whatever. I saw it. It's awesome.
It's so clutch. Same spot. I can't believe
it. Was it Cleveland?
Nah, they lost to Cleveland. It was, whoever it was the night after that. Why am I not remembering this? This is crazy.
You're the worst Philly fan ever.
No, but I do have the worst memory ever. So there's that. I don't know. The addition of Butler has been really, really good. The Markelle thing, really, really sad. I don't really know what to say, but you know.
Well, so real quick then, we talked enough about Philly, I think. So give me one place you'd want to see Markelle traded.
Man, I want him. You know, people have mentioned Atlanta before. I actually think Atlanta would be nice. Atlanta put him with Trey. Trae Young, and just there's no pressure. They're not going to win anything. He can maybe develop down there. Their coach is so a former Sixers guy, and like I think it would be a good environment for him. I don't know what they would give the Sixers back, but it doesn't seem like Markel's trade value is anything right now. So I guess what
I said, no, it's not. He has no value right now.
So anything in return would be good. You're right though when you said they still need shooting. They're gonna fill out the roster obviously whenever there's buyouts come trade deadline time, and I'm sure they'll get a couple of guys off the waiver wire or something to add to this team before the playoffs start. But yeah, they could use a bit more shooting. Markel, man, I don't know. Where would you like to see him go?
Somebody said the Suns. If they sent, I think the Suns have somebody else's first, in 2020. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good team's first. And then, what's the kid's name? The tall Bender, Dragan Bender.
Oh.
So let's say they sent Bender and a first and, maybe some more salary filler. Would you – you got to get something for him, right?
Yeah,
you
just want him out of there. I don't really want Bender, though. I know everybody was really –
you're just taking a flyer on him, right? And, he's supposed to be a shooter. You could play him possibly with Embiid. If he doesn't pan out, then guess what? They didn't pick up his option. He doesn't pan up. He's gone next year anyway. And you got a first for Markel.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it just, man, his value has just tanked. Can you imagine, James, can you remember in the history of the NBA, another first overall pick that was set to be traded within less than a year and a half of being with his team?
Because, Anthony Bennett.
Oh, yeah, good point. All right, so it's Anthony Bennett level. It wasn't even that long ago. Anthony Bennett level disaster. And I feel the thing is, the difference between Markel and Anthony Bennett was I don't think the talent was ever there for Anthony Bennett. For Markel, it's so clearly there. And at certain times on certain nights, you can see flashes of that kid that's still there. And you're like, holy shit, if he could just get it right and figure it out, he could be amazing. I don't know that it will ever happen. And there's not enough talk about, mental health around the NBA. I mean, people talk about it certainly more than in the NFL and probably a lot of other sports, but how you address that, how you deal with it, what you do to help guys. I don't know. And I don't think we're there as a society yet, but it's clearly mental for him. And I feel terrible about it. And I feel really bad for the kid. I hope he figures it out. I really hope that he gets it together and he succeeds, but I just don't see it happening in Philly.
And the Yips is a motherfucker, man. Jesus. I can't wait. I can't wait to see the 30 for 30 on this whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be an epic saga.
Yeah, so that's the Philly thing. We could talk a little bit about the Celtics, too, because they, as a franchise, are having maybe a case of the yips. But just like Markel, the changing of the shot, the injury, whatever, I can't wait to hear that whole story. But that's a pivotal, a franchise pivotal moment, for good or bad, for Philly. And I think that's the Gordon Hayward leg break. Because a lot of the Celtics issues right now, I think, would have been solved by a healthy Gordon Hayward. And the fact that he is still so far behind and might never return to the guy he used to be, it really kind of lowers the ceiling of this team overall. So that's, right now Boston is 11-10. What scares me is that Jaylen Brown went down. He's out for a couple games. And they started Marcus Smart and Mook Morris, and all of a sudden they looked like the team I would have thought. And then they, had Gordon Hayward off the bench, not really doing much, and they still beat the Pelicans pretty handily, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, this, like you said, we see flashes of what they can do in Boston. They're versatile. They're deep. The defense looked really good. They made Anthony Davis look mortal, even though he still scored 27 and 16. Mm-hmm. He took a lot of shots to do it, and he never really got comfortable, and he never looked like he was going to take over the game, which we've seen him do. So, they were phenomenal. They looked good, and they have a long way to go. But I'm really concerned that Gordon Hayward is making, over $30 million a year for this season and then the next two. And if he never becomes what we thought he would be, and if Jaylen Brown can't get back on track, what does this team become?
Well, let's start with the Gordon Hayward thing. I don't doubt that he can get back to what he was. I just think that you mentioned that he's way behind the timeline. I just think it's going to take him a whole season to figure out his body again, man. I mean, that's a gruesome injury. That's something that he goes out there every single night, and I guarantee you is on the back of his mind, holy shit, if I do this again, I'm fucked. I have got to be careful, right? That knowledge alone will keep you from playing balls out. So There's that. There's his body's probably not yet ready as well. That's absolutely true. There was a long rehab, man. It was a gruesome injury.
You see what happened, right? Like, you saw the article I wrote where the fact that the setback that he had in May, and he had to have another surgery and go back in the walking boot, that, like, so now he's probably like 3 or 4 months behind where he should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not tripping on that, but I mean, like Paul George came back to be a lot like the player that he was prior to the injury.
Right, no, but it took him a whole year too. He came back the year that Paul George came back, everyone was having the same thought. They're like, wow, it's still there. He's still got that explosiveness a bit, but you can tell he's still injured. And I'm sure it's in the back of his mind. It took a full season for him to get back to who he was.
Paul George came back at the end of the year that he got hurt, and he played like 10 games. He looked like crap. And then the very next season, he was back to like 22-5, whatever. So I'm not saying you're wrong. Again, everybody's different. Everyone's different. The injury's a little bit different. The setback, definitely. So let's see what Gordon Hayward looks like in February.
But you're right. It's having him healthy and having him fill that role that he was signed to fill would be a huge thing. It would go a long way. I worry about how his fit, and like you wrote about this too. Everybody go check out James' thing on Up and Under. You wrote about his being there affected Jalen and Jason. That's a lot of J's. and how they don't really know about their role now on this team. And I think that makes a lot of sense. The other thing for me is somebody wrote this on Twitter, and I should stay off Twitter. It's just boy. But I really agree with it. Somebody said something about when Jason Tatum was drafted, I didn't have him ranked that high. And apparently they didn't either. And he came out and he was so good that first year that it really made me reassess how I value players. And then this year he came out and he shows more of like what I actually thought he was going to be last year, which is a mid-range heavy shooter. I don't know if a lot of it has to do with him hanging out with Kobe, but I want to think it does.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. Yeah. Kobe. Yeah. That whole thing with Kobe. And I'll say this for him, for Jason Tatum, he's like a sponge, and you can tell in the last few games I watched him play, someone's gotten his ear and said, dude, cut it out. So, cause he's trying to get to the rim a lot more and he's shooting a lot more threes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he should be doing.
Yeah. But you're right. Early in the season, dude, it was bad. He was breaking the offense and dribbling the air out of the ball, trying to fade away from, you know, it was bad. So.
Yeah. Don't ever listen to Kobe Bryant. That's my advice to listen, kids. Don't listen to Kobe. I don't know. It certainly has a lot to do with it. And then Jaylen Brown, man, I don't know what his deal is right now. Is he just in his own head? Is he just not in a flow? Isn't like maybe this being a sort of new team, right? He's injured now, but maybe this being sort of a new team, maybe he's just feeling it out again.
And that's what it is, man, because like he had a lot of those, you know, the cliche summer workout videos where he was doing like, he was working with Tracy McGrady on like, you know, dribble moves and step backs and counters and fake spins. And guess what? They don't want him to do that. They want him to play defense, basically space the floor, attack closeouts, but not, you know, not dribble up and one dribble and show off the sauce. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's the problem early. So, it's like Pandora's box, right? Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum had all that freedom last year, and they felt a little of that glory, and they felt that buzz, that love. And sure, they can say all the right things, but they love that feeling, right? Yeah. They love being like that. And so they're struggling now to play in a more narrow, confined role. And I think we're seeing that Rozier and Tatum are kind of fitting a little better now. And now the last piece, if they can get Jaylen to come back and slide in there and be effective in his minutes, because he was bad, man. He had some bad, bad games.
Well, he's shooting really terrible from three right now, right? It was like 28% or something.
Oh, my. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I was like, oh, you know what? He hasn't played that poorly his last like four games before he got hurt. But he was averaging 24 minutes. He was shooting 50. No, he was shooting 59% from the floor. So that's actually not bad. Yeah. And he was averaging like almost 12 points a game, which is above his season average, which is, you know, that's sad because last year it was 14. But yeah, he's still shooting like he shot 11% from three in those last four games. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good. So, you know, and you would like you would naturally think like, well, what's wrong with having those guys out there together? You know, but the thing is like they outperformed their abilities, I think, in that playoffs. Like they were amazing, but there was clearly a ceiling.
You know what?
On there.
This is my thing. Some players are just not meant to be narrow role players. Mm-hmm. And that not saying like, you know, some guys can just come off the bench and they can just hit a couple. Lou Williams, right? Yeah. Come off the bench, do his thing. Boom. That's what he does. Some players aren't meant to be like that. Some guys, like, it reminds me of that movie. You remember that movie, The Other Guys, with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell?
No.
God damn it, Joe.
Sorry. Go ahead. What about it?
So either way, in that movie, it's a comedy, right? And it's pretty funny. You need to check it out. Either way, the other guys, you know, these are like low level, kind of sorry cops. And at one point, Mark Wahlberg's yelling at his captain. He's like, I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly. You know, and which makes no sense. It's ridiculous. Yes. But like that, some players are like that. Some players just like Terry Rozier. I think he's going to be a fine starter on another team when his time comes. Because Boston was spam, and he right now is having like a harder time playing in that narrow role. You know what I mean?
By the way,
some guys are just. Go ahead.
Did you see that they're trying to like Scream is trying to sue Terry Rozier for the Scary Terry T-shirts?
Oh my God!
At least that's what I saw on Twitter, which is just melting my brain at this point. It's ridiculous. No, I'm with you, but that also gets into the thing about like, you know, people were saying, well, does Boston have too many guys that are really good, and how are you going to pay them all, and how are you going to play them all? So you might be right, man. They might. I mean, you know, Jalen, Jason, Terry, Marcus Smart, like all those guys are going to eventually. Did they sign Marcus Smart this offseason?
Yeah, Marcus got his money, and Marcus is fine.
Yeah,
Marcus
he's fine. He's one of those guys.
So I was staunchly anti too many guys because that just sounds silly to me. Like you want good players, you want talented guys, you want to be able to have guys who can beat up on other second units, right? But like that's me as a fan because I love Jaylen Brown's game. I love the fact that, you know, he defied a lot of expectations in his first 2 years. There were people who thought he was going to suck. Like that pick was panned. So last year was a little bit of people were doing victory laps, including me. And now, you know, maybe it's not looking that good. So I would get it. I would get it if but here's the thing about Danny Ainge, and this is where the contrast with Philly comes in. There is no, oh well, crap, this isn't working, and you know, we gotta strike with the iron's hot. Boston's gonna slow play it. You know, they're not gonna make any panic moves. I don't think we see Jalen and or, you know, no one else can really be moved right now. Gordon Hayward is similar to Markelle Fultz right now because that tremendous contract and, you know, his status, he has almost no trade value. But we're not going to see a move made unless it's for like a big whale, I think, for Boston.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure about are you saying that the trade for Jimmy Butler was the big move? I mean, I kind of think they had to do that, but.
No, and here's the thing. Again, it's not a bad move. I mean, sure, you traded for a guy who's going to be a free agent, but, you know, I think, you know, we all know the wink wink's happening. He's going to get paid next summer. That's fine. It wasn't a panic move, but, like, you know, I don't think coming into the season, do you think they were going to trade for somebody like Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. I thought they had to.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought they had to. Because they stated, here's what we're doing. We're looking at championships. And so, like, everybody knew it was coming. So far, Jimmy has been on his best behavior. Not to go back to the Sixers again, but I'm hoping this continues. I'm hoping he doesn't, like, start missing touches because he doesn't really get that many touches when he's on the floor with Embiid. Actually, you know, that last game. Well, last night against the Knicks, he didn't get. I think he had like 12 points or something like that. The night before, him and Embiid put up both like 34 and 32. So, anyway, it's all fine. Should we move off of the Sixers and Celtics?
So, do you see any moves you think the Celtics should make? In your
this
dream
season,
world, as a Celtics hater, what move would you want to see them make?
Shit, man. I kind of want them to see him just stay put because. I think they're great. I think they're really good. I think there's a ceiling there. And I don't think Gordon Hayward's going to be healthy enough this year to get them over that hump. I think they're going to be a lot better. By the time the season comes around, they're going to be scary in the playoffs. But I still do think they need another piece like a healthy Gordon Hayward. And I just don't know that he's going to be there. if you're talking about like Anthony Davis, apparently they can't sign him, and everybody should go check out the article on Bleacher Report. Reasons they can't sign Anthony Davis until next year.
Rose rule.
What's that? The Rose rule. Exactly. Yeah. So they can't do anything there. So I don't know. I don't know what move they would make. What do you think?
I mean, and again, I'm looking process over results. Boston came into this season with these, you know, these versatile players and pieces. And sure, you didn't come out the gates gangbusters, but that's not the end of the world. So I'm fine. I'm fine with the way things are right now, too. I mean, you know, we're getting. Go ahead.
Do you think if they don't make a move, do you think as they're presently constituted, do you think they're challenging for the East this season?
It's all about how Gordon Hayward develops and how he heals, how he keeps, because all this is kind of rehab for him right now, right? You know, so he's still kind of rehabbing. So if he can at least become a consistent contributor, because that's the problem. One night he has, you know, 18 or 16, he's hitting jumpers from everywhere and looks confident. Other nights he just looks like he does not play basketball. And it's going to be a while. So it's a process for him. So if he can become a consistent contributor, and if he, like, once, I think we're starting to see it. Like I said the other night, if everyone kind of settle into their roles and play with consistent energy, Boston, I think, can definitely contend for the East still, because there's no LeBron James. And I know Toronto's great. You know, I know that Philly right now is looking a lot better. I'll say Philly and probably, you know, Toronto and then probably Philly probably have, would you say Jimmy Butler's better than Kyrie Irving?
Yes. Well, ooh, yeah. And here's why, because Jimmy Butler is a two-way player. Kyrie is not.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to argue now. Overall, you're absolutely right. And maybe Kyrie is going to tail off like he did last year. He is playing bang defense right now. Really? I don't know what that means. No, actually, no. I've been shocked watching some of the plays this guy's making. Not just – so he's fighting on ball. He's fighting through screens. He's digging down, getting steals. He's, like, disruptive in the passing lanes. I've been really impressed with his defense. Here's his numbers for the last 11 games since he's kind of straightened up. You know, he started off really slow. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 25 points a game. He's averaging 5 rebounds a game, 7 assists, and almost 3 steals a game.
That's good.
And, yeah, he's shooting, you know, 38% from 3, 49% from the floor. He's been great. Now, that being said, Jimmy Butler, that size and that shot making, it's tough. It's tough to beat. It's tough to take. So, I think Kyrie's the best player. Well, second best player in the East. Between him and Giannis, it's a toss-up. Jimmy Butler's right there. He's not Giannis, and he's not Kawhi, but he's great. But, you know, in his own right, Kyrie's a star. In any series, I think going, especially offensively, Kyrie can go with anybody. Yeah. So, I think they still have a shot.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't make it to the finals, or if they don't, the Eastern Conference Finals, if they don't make it there, is this season a disappointment to you?
Yes. Yes, very much so. If they don't make the finals, it's a disappointment to me. Okay. Now, it's not like a lost. It's not like a lost season.
Right.
Obviously, they depend on the form, but yeah.
I mean, don't worry. I think they'll be there. I think it's either going to be, oh, man. You know, there's the top of the East right now this season is incredible. It's just between Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philly. I mean, Boston's been a little sluggish, but it's just like there's so much competition there. It's fun. It's really fun. Let's move off of this. So you want to talk about the Clippers, though. They're speaking of the top of the conference.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's a good, nice little segue there. You're learning. So, yeah, the Clippers. Let's talk the Clippers for a minute. Do you believe in the Clippers? On a scale of 1 to 17.
I love your arbitrary numbers.
How much do you believe in the Clippers?
I'm going to say a healthy 10. I believe that they're a good team. I believe that they play hard. I believe that they like playing with each other. They're a cohesive unit. I believe that they also do not have the top-end talent to really make any noise in the playoffs. Because it is a star league, and that's really what counts when it comes down to it. You need a guy who's going to be able to take the game over, and I don't see a single guy on that roster.
How you disrespect Tobias the God?
I'm disrespecting Tobias, yes. I like that Tobias gets love, and he's a good player, but I'm not the biggest Tobias fan. I'm just saying. He's good. I'm not saying he's not.
There was a team that did this a couple years ago.
The Hawks. Season.
No, the Hawks at least like had like Al Horford and Paul Millsap. Like those guys are better than Tobias Harris is now. Yeah, you know what sure. I mean, and no, there was another team that started off like same thing. Like you know, it was a everything like the sum of the parts. You know, greater than sum of the parts. All mm-hmm. these guys playing hard and scrappy, and they you know somebody said, oh, can this team be a contender? And all it takes is one guy going down. And for a team that's depending on Danilo Gallinari, who's averaging almost 19 points a game this year.
Yeah.
So he's averaging 19. I think Tobias averaged like 22. They got, you know, it's okay. But, yeah, the fact that Montrezl Harrell.
Everybody says Montrez, but it's spelled Montrezl, right?
I think one of those letters is silent. Yeah. So
I think this? The other my L, man, the second L.
Like, my man M. Harrell is a monster right now in the pick and roll. But again, he is a 6'8" power forward who's a bench guy his whole career, and right now he's playing out of his mind. Which not hey, good on him, good on him. How does this how do they look in January? How do they look in February? These guys are playing out of their heads, and again, Gallinari has a history of it. I don't know. We'll see, man. I think this is a fine job Doc's doing. On a scale of 1 to 17, I'm like a 7 on them. So the Clippers, man, like it's in your 20 because a lot of Clippers fans and even like some of their blog sites are like, it's messed up. We're not getting any attention. Why can't, no one's talking about the Clippers? And then they were number one in the West. I don't think they are now. I'm pretty sure they're not. Mm. But it's a good story. It's fun. I like it for the fact that, you know, they won a lot of games, but there was no joy in Clippersville for a bunch of years. And now they have this great defensive identity. They're deep. They're fun, man. They remind me a little bit of – and just the fact that, you know, they're all these guys playing really well and not like a superstar, but they have guys who can kind of score a little bit. They remind me kind of like the Celtics vibe from last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like fun. It's unexpected. They're beating teams that they probably shouldn't, you know, whatever. Now they should, so whatever.
I mean, they're sitting, what are they? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 8-1 in their last 9 games. That's not nothing. They beat Golden State, which, you know, depleted Golden State. They beat San Antonio. They beat Memphis, Portland.
These are good wins, man.
Milwaukee in overtime. Yeah, dude, they're not a bad team. They're a really good team. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they're a fun team for now. I think they're playing over their head, and I think it's awesome. I just don't see, they're still first in the Western Conference, by the way. They're 14-6.
That's
it's great. So, it's a lot of fun. I don't know how sustainable it is, but they do have a lot of nice players.
Are you looking at the standings right now? Are you looking at the standings?
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at basketball reference.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what's the record of the 8th seed?
Right, let me tell you. I'm gonna tell you right now. So the 8th seed is, if they're in first, 1, 2, 3.
All this compelling.
Dallas is 10-9. Dallas is in the 8th seed. They're one game ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So there's
game ahead of New Orleans.
Yeah, there's like less than 4 games between first and eighth right now.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Dallas.
There's 4 games between first and ninth.
Dallas is exactly. Yeah. Dallas is 3.5 games back of first place. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, technically we're saying like, oh, they're in first, and it's great. They are in first, but like it's not like they're
right. Yeah. As opposed to the East, where Orlando is 8 games behind Toronto, and that's only going to get bigger. Yeah, man, but I think it's a fun team, and I'm happy for them, and I think they're definitely going to try and, you know, there was all that talk about them getting Bradley Beal or trying to make a trade for Bradley Beal and stuff. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore now that I think Washington, because they're starting to win, is going to try and talk themselves into running this back again this year and seeing what they can do. They'll probably get to 41-41 again, maybe sneak into the playoffs and get ousted in the first round. I don't know. I don't know if there's a trade there for them to make this year.
The Wizards?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers? See, they got – here's the thing. They got a lot of good guys on good contracts. They have a lot – that's the thing. They have a lot of flexibility. Like, Bradley Beal would be great there.
Yeah.
He'd be amazing there.
How about if they trade Gortat for Bradley Beal?
I mean, see, I'm never good. I'm never great at coming up with trade ideas, right?
No, me neither. I'm terrible at it. All right, let's move on.
Well, either way, Clippers are fun. Shout out to the Clippers. I mean, so what do you think their ceiling is this year?
The Clippers?
Yeah.
I think they'll probably finish as the seventh or eighth seed. They'll be a first round out. I don't know, man. Come on. Look, what do you want from me? Look at this roster. Yeah, Patrick Beverley. I mean, Avery Bradley's good. Gallinari. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has been a really fun rookie, right? He's going to be in the running for Rookie of the Year. He's not going to get it, but he'll be in the run. Montrezl Harrell.
No, he's not in the running. Doncic got it sewed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Aiden got it sewed. One of those guys. Those two are head and shoulders. Yeah, they're head and shoulders better than the other rookies, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Gortat, you know, Lou Williams. It's a fine team. It's a fun team. They're good. Tobias Harris. But they're not special. I guess like I said before, it's like you need that star power. And most teams, like the Warriors now have four superstars on that team, right? And they have like Iguodala and Sean Livingston coming off the bench. And wait, is Iguodala starting now? I don't even know.
He has to now because they're so injured.
Right. But like, in order to even compete, you need to have three stars at this point. Like Philly's got three. Boston's got what they hope will be three. Like, you know. You just need a lot of stars, and they have a lot of nice players, but they don't have any real stars. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we talked about them, since I saw the people talking about.
Speaking of teams that don't have any stars on it, what do you think about the Magic's run lately?
See, that was a terrible segue.
You did great.
Because I was going to say, now, from first in the West, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, towards the bottom, but they won't be there long. And it's like the Orlando Magic right now. And I was going to say, so you just screwed it up. There's a couple teams that I think, you know, that every year, if we say the running jokes in the NBA, right? At least you're not a Magic fan. At least you're not a Kings fan. Mm-hmm. You know, Kings doing King stuff. Right now, both of those franchises seem like they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're playing a lot better. If you told me Sacramento was 10-10 after their first 20 games, I would call you a liar. If you told me that the Orlando Magic had beaten like a handful of like quality teams and were, you know, just outside of the playoff, we're actually they're in the last playoff spot right now.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
Would have called you a liar. But both of those teams are trying to change their cultures, and it's fun to see. Who is the pivotal player in Orlando? Fred asked.
I mean, I know everyone wants to say Vucevic right now, but you got to say Vucevic, right? Vucevic has been playing out of his mind. The thing is, like, Vucevic has always been good. He has never gotten any love because he's on a shitty team and he doesn't play any defense. He's not fleet of foot. He's not going to guard you. But man, that guy can score in bunches, and he can rebound the shit out of the ball. He's a decent passer, too. I think Vooch might be their primary guy. I know, like, Aaron Gordon might come to mind. There's a ton of guys on that team that are, like, potentially really good. Like, Jonathan Isaac, who I love. But I'm going to go Vooch. What do you think?
Vooch is averaging almost 21, 11, and 4 right now, mm-hmm. which is not bad at all. He's shooting 41% from three. All right, come on. That's not going to make
it. It's not sustainable, no. I don't. Maybe it is. He's got a decent stroke, man. He's been hitting threes for years now, though. Like, just no one has known about it.
I always say the wing's the thing, man. So I think the combination of Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Isaac, are those are my guys. I get it, though. I don't know. I've just never been a big Vucevic fan, so it's my own bias, I guess.
No, I mean, you and everyone else, including myself, I'm not a huge Vucevic fan, but I do want to give him some props and give him some love.
And he's playing doing really well. He's doing all that in less than 31 minutes a game. So that's impressive. Right. But yeah, I'm looking at the Magic roster right now. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys scoring in double figures. Jonathan Isaac is just missing it at almost 9 points a game. So almost 6 guys. Aaron Gordon's averaging 16-7 and almost 3 assists. You know, that's not bad at all.
No.
So, you know, it's, yeah, but their point guard is DJ Augustine. You know, that's
somehow,
that really,
somehow that's DJ the, Augustine.
That's the really caps the ceiling of this team, I think. But I mean, it's, you know what? At least we're all laughing at the Magic right now.
That's true.
After all of the wasted players, Tobias Harris came through there. Your boy Oladipo was there. You know, guys, they just spray talent all over. Serge Ibaka was there for, you know, a season, and now he's gone. So, like, it seems like maybe they have a little stability, and you can't, like, you gotta give the props to the coach. Yeah. Is it Clifford?
Steve Clifford, yeah.
You have Steve Clifford all the props in the world to finally putting the brakes on that free-falling franchise and make them look decent. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe in them? Do you think they have a shot at making the playoffs this year?
5. I think they have some really promising talent. Like, even Wes Iwundu, who looked like a genius against the Sixers a couple of weeks ago, has some talent. But Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, I think, is going to be really good in years to come. You know, Evan Fournier is good. Aaron Gordon's good. Terrence Ross can play out of his mind on occasion. Vucevic is going to get you points. I think they have, sort of like the Clippers, they have about enough guys to get you into the playoffs. Nothing special, but man, getting them into the playoffs this season would be a huge win for that franchise. Think about this. They were involved in the Dwight Howard trade, and they have not been to the playoffs since.
Not just to the playoffs, they've been terrible since.
Yeah, and everyone thought they won that trade.
Yeah.
So they have been just spiraling out of control. They just hit the bottom and they have stayed there.
The front office every year was like, we need to make the playoffs. And like, yeah, we're not even good yet. So make the playoffs. And they make bad trades on top of bad trades.
Yep.
And they were too impatient. They didn't let their guys develop. So, I mean, it is what it is. Now,
who's their old GM, Kings, Rob Hennigan or something?
Yeah, I think I don't know if he's the old and the new. Is there a new GM there?
I think there's a new GM. The new GM is Jeff Weltman.
There you go. Now, Sacramento, this might have been a case of the slow bubble, I guess, because we laughed at them for a couple of years. And they did. They made terrible draft choices. They what was the center? They drafted a center like 13th, like, yeah, 2 years ago.
It was Papagiannis. Georgios Papagiannis?
Papagiannis, yeah.
Papagiannis, yeah.
God damn, what a dumb pick. what's the guy, the kid's name too? They just brought him back.
How am I remembering the names tonight, by the way? Something happened here all of a sudden where I'm just like, hey, this name, that name. I don't know what's going on with me tonight.
Sacramento's been a fucking shit fest for so long.
Yeah.
Ben McLemore. You know, Ben Blackwell was there. They brought him back, and they paid Zach Randolph all this money. I haven't seen him play at all this year. Is he hurt?
I think they're just like playing the young guys. And did you read that article about how Malone?
They're beefing right now. There's talk about them firing the coach.
Yeah, Mike Malone might be on the outs because he wants to win instead of bringing on, which is really weird because you would think it would be the other way. Oh wait. Or he wants to play the young. I forget what it was.
I think you mean David Yerger.
Oh, sorry, Dave Yerger. Mike Malone's in fucking, yeah. Yeah, anyway, he used to be there, didn't he? Dave Yeager, sorry. You're breaking up.
But yes. Yeah. No, so yes, now there's talk of firing, of, you know, there's tension between the front office and Yerger. Yerger?
Yeager. Yeager. Like a Yeager bomb.
But it's not, though. It's spelled Jerger.
I know, but they pronounce it yet. Dave Yeager. There you go.
I think you're lying.
Look it up. Listen to somebody say it besides me.
So, like you're saying that. Oh God damn it! You're right. I'm basketball reference to show you the pronunciation. But yeah, man. Like, and it was kind of makes me sad that I heard this. You know, this story of unrest between the front office and him, because just like with Mike Malone, they were winning. Boogie got sick, and they fired him.
Yep.
Right. Like, I want for the Kings fans. I follow some really good Kings fans on Twitter. I want them to be successful. I want them to have fun. I want them to be good, or at least not to be the joke that they are. And things like this make them the joke.
All right. It does. I agree with you. I think they clearly drafted fairly well the last couple of years. Anyways, De'Aaron Fox is going to be sick as fuck. I'm not so sure about Marvin Bagley, but he seems like he's coming around. But yeah, you're right. Having them, the whole argument was that the front office wants Marvin Bagley playing more, and Dave Yeager wants to play his guys, the older vets, so he can win some games. You kind of get both arguments, but they've been giving.
Here's my thing: he's not even playing older vets. He's playing Willie Cauley-Stein and Harry Giles.
He's not really playing Harry Giles much. He's not getting much running time.
No, but I think
they want him to play Harry Giles more too, because he also has like untapped potential. But yeah, like he's hesitant to go with those guys and more wanting to lean on the vets a little bit more, from what I understand in the article. So I don't know. You're right. It's exactly what makes this franchise a joke. Like, Jesus Christ, guys, can you do this stuff behind closed doors and not let the whole world know about it?
I'm looking at their last 11 games. I see 1, 2. They're 4-7 in their last 11 games. That's not great.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting to come back down to earth, which is kind of sad. Yeah.
That's scary. That makes me feel bad. Who's your favorite king to watch? Have you watched any of the King games?
I mean, obviously it's De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
He's a bad man. He really is. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that he could be in the Lakers right now, but they just had their heart set on Lonzo, and now this is what they got.
Isn't it crazy he could have been on the Sixers right now? They just had their heart set on Markel.
In fairness, he wouldn't be great.
You don't think?
You're breaking up, brother.
Oh, damn it. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
All right. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was saying that he wouldn't fit with the Sixers.
No,
because
wouldn't.
Because, I mean, yeah, that's Ben Simmons all the way.
That's true.
Now we just want to give props to a couple other teams, and that's good. I think that's enough for those teams.
Yeah, totally. Do you want to do some Twitter questions and wrap it up? We're already at like an hour.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's finish up.
All right. Shit, I'm on the wrong.
I mean, unless you got the questions all queued up.
Go ahead. Give me not yet, but you want to talk about some other things quick?
Well, no. Let's do real quick rapid fire quarter season awards.
All
right. Right. We're 20 games in for most teams. Like, I think teams are starting to settle in a little bit. Who if the season ended right now, other than being shocked because you're like, what the fuck? The season's only 20 games long? This is bullshit. Who would be your MVP?
Giannis. We both got the same place. Person.
God damn it. You're not supposed to pick the same as me.
I picked him at the beginning of the year. I'm sticking with it. Although I really want to say Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid, he's in the list, but he's not getting nearly enough love. If you watch that man on a nightly basis, he is fucking sick. He's a beast, and he deserves more MVP chance. So,
I think once the record piles up a little more, even though you guys are already starting to win now, yeah, he'll be in the conversation. He's averaging like 27.
Yeah, 27, 12, and something like that. Yeah.
Almost 14 rebounds, almost 4 assists, you know, like a block and a half. He really needs to cut back on the 3-point shooting, and he needs to corral his turnover issue. He has some turnover issues, but he's a really good player.
They're down from last year, but yeah, he still turns it over a bit too much.
Rookie of the year.
Luka, of course.
Okay, I'm going to go, just to be contrary, I'm going to go DeAndre Ayton.
All right, I love contrarians. Really, nobody else in the running for you? It's just Luka or DeAndre?
That's it, man. I mean, like I said, we gave our boy props. Shea Gilts and Alexander props. Hey, and his Kentucky running mate, Hamidou Diallo, has been a pleasant surprise for the Thunder, you know. So, but yeah, you know, Kevin Knox hasn't been great, hasn't been that good yet.
No.
But whatever. I still think it's gonna be really good. Ayton, we gotta give him props. The Suns still suck, but he's averaging like what, 17-11?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know? He's having a really good statistical season. I think he gets knocks because of his defense is so porous, but also because he's on the Suns and like nobody watches the Suns.
His defense isn't as terrible as people think. He makes rookie mistakes, but I mean, I've seen a couple games. He's made nice rotations. He's blocked off the weak, makes some weak side blocks. He's strong as an ox. His defense is not that terrible. It's just, he's a rookie.
Yeah. He's trying. He's trying, so that's good.
Sixth man of the year.
You tell me yours, and I'll tell you mine in a second.
I got to go with Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder's been great for the Thunder. Sure, he started a lot of games. Russell only played 10 of their 20, 19 games, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's been really, really good. He's averaging, I think, 16 points a game, 5 assists. He's actually playing the most surprising part to me is he's playing really, really good defense. And he means so much to OKC, because last year when Russ sat down and it was Ray Felton running the show, they struggled so mightily. Schroeder gives them, sure, he wasn't a great starter for a bad Atlanta team, but he's a starter quality kind of player, and they don't have to change their style of play. They can run high pick and roll with Schroeder, and he can do the same attacking style like Russ. He's still finding shooters in the corner. And that's one reason that you know, they played so well even when Russ was out. So it's a big, big deal for them. Imagine like last year they had Carmelo Anthony and they would start it off like 4-8. And mm-hmm. this year all it took was getting in a point guard who's supposed to be, you know, quote unquote worse than Melo, and they're playing so much better.
All right. I'm sticking with Julius Randle for now. I think he's been really good for the Pelicans. I picked him as a sixth man to start the year, so I'm gonna ride with him right now. He's been really good. He can get whatever he wants when he wants it, so
that's a good pick, and I would agree with you if I think they were playing a little better. They start off the season like so strong. That's another team we don't have a lot of time now to talk about, but yeah, I feel so bad for Anthony Davis, and I'm really curious to see what he does next summer, man.
Same, we're all waiting with bated breath. It's, you know, and especially since the Celtics can't trade for him until next year, or if Kyrie signs, well, Kyrie would have to opt out of his contract and then sign. Then they're free to do whatever the fuck they want.
Kyrie's going to do that.
He's going to do that. So that's why.
That's not why they can't sign Anthony Davis. The trade for him and then re-sign him. Something.
No, it's because you can't have two of those stars. You can't trade for two of those guys at the same time, and they're still both on their same contract.
That's ridiculous.
You got to read the article. I'm telling you, it's Tom Zeller wrote it on SB Nation. It's really good.
All right. Wow, dude, I didn't realize the Pelicans had lost 1, 2, 3, 4 of the last 5. Wow.
Yeah, it's been really disappointing. I had way higher hopes for them. Moving on. Let's wrap this up quick. We'll do some Twitter
wrap
questions.
It up. All right. Sorry. No, Jesus. No, it's okay.
Nobody wants to listen to an hour and a half podcast.
Team surprise.
Biggest surprise,
and a positive surprise, because we're doing team surprise and team disappoint.
Okay, so my biggest surprise would have to be, I'll just say the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought they would be good. I didn't think they'd be this good.
And that's the biggest surprise to you, huh? Okay. To me, it's the Magic. Again, the Magic and the Kings are considered a toss-up. I'll go with the Magic, though, because I really thought the Magic would be bad this year. So I thought the Kings wouldn't be good either, but at least, you know, Fox has been really nice and fun. But all right, team disappointment.
Biggest disappointment for me so far has got to be Utah. I thought they'd be way better than this. Houston, I know everyone wants to say Houston, but I saw that coming. I mean, I didn't see it this bad, but I saw them regressing a bit.
I guess for me, because I had a feeling that the Jazz would. I didn't think it'd be same with you in Houston. I didn't think the Jazz would be this bad. But I was like, there's no way they're going to finish up. They're going to come out the way they looked at the end of last year. They were just dominating. And they, I was like, they're not a – they played like a 65-win clip to end the season. Like, they're not that good. So, to me, it's going to be the Rockets, man. I know Chris Paul's missed time. I know they missed Trevor Ariza and Luke Manyname's defense. I get it. But come on, dude. They're just losing. They lost to the Wizards. And the Wizards we know are just – you know, the Wizards are dysfunctional. And if you're more dysfunctional than the Wizards, then that's an issue.
Yeah, it's not good.
The boy had 54 points, but he also had 11 turnovers. And, you know, if that was Russell Westbrook scoring 54 in a loss with 11 turnovers, he'd be murdered. They lost to the – didn't they lose to the – oh, yeah. Then Dallas just beat their brains in, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. That whole mojo, their swagger is just gone. They're playing D-League level guys rotation minutes right now. So,
yeah. It obviously has to do with injuries too. But,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Do you want to save the Twitter questions for next time, or do you have time for a couple of them?
Let's shoot out a couple, because I don't know. Let's do it real quick.
Do it.
So Mo Abdul at Abdul_260. Is there no market for Nick Young in the league right now? What team could use a guy like him? How would he look on a struggling Utah Jazz team? Speaking of the Jazz.
So the Jazz, and this, I think he said that probably before they got,
he also mentioned Philly.
Philly needs all the help they can get right now.
No, they do not need Nick Young. They had him. They don't need him. He was fun when he was here a few years ago for one.
Please, Philly, get Nick Young. Please.
No.
That happened. Same with the Jazz. No, he just, you know what? Sometimes I get people like him. He's fun, whatever. At least J.R. Smith tried on defense for the Cavs. And yeah, Nick Young is just everyone thinks he's cool, Swaggy P. No, I don't think a team like Philly or Utah needs him. Can you think of any team that might, like, if he was, hey, Golden State would welcome him right now for a little while, and then you know, we're healthy again, you can go sit back down the bench.
Yeah.
So,
let's see. Yeah, not in Philly. Maybe. By the way, the Jazz just traded for Korver too. We should mention so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Let me see if I can get another tweet.
I got another one. My man at Dalo is hair like Aristotle, but spells it like H-E-I-R. Mm-hmm. He's. I remember last season, Snoddy said he'd take Giannis over Embiid. I said the reverse. I'm sure he still feels the same way, but does he feel the gap is closed? Is it wider? I think I would still take right now Giannis over Embiid, only because I still have lingering health concerns about Embiid, and I feel like Giannis is just a little bit more. I think maybe Embiid's ceiling might be higher because there's times when he's just unstoppable and he just can't miss. Mm-hmm. But I think Giannis is a little more of a consistent offensive fulcrum. Like, you don't need to pass him the ball to get him started, right? That's the thing about a big man. You got to have somebody to get him the ball, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. The difference is that Giannis can take the ball and drive to the rim. Embiid can do it too, actually. So it's like, it's really, really close. I was going to say about Embiid, I think he's still averaging the most minutes in the entire league right now. I think he's played the most minutes in the entire league. So maybe
he's leading all centers in minutes, I think. Yeah.
I think he's healthy. But let's hope he stays that way, because I'm worried about him playing so many minutes. So I kind of have that too. But right, for me, yeah. For me right now, I mean, A, because I'm a homer, B, because he's just so much fun, I would probably take Embiid. But Giannis, goddamn, he's so good. Here's one. Rob L. At rgreen89. Which Eastern Conference team's currently sitting outside of the top eight makes it into playoff contention by season's end, and who do they replace? Same question goes for the West.
So we got which team that's out of contention right now, currently not in – oh man, it's
currently not in. Yeah, and who are they going to replace? So, like, I would say, God, it's a shit show. Maybe Washington replaces Orlando, but I can't see Brooklyn, Miami, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, or Cleveland making it in.
If Caris LeVert wasn't hurt, I would say Brooklyn had a chance.
By the way, he was really good. Caris LeVert's going to be back this season. That was an incredibly lucky sprain or dislocated ankle. He'll be back in a few weeks. That's insanity. But God, it's like, yay for him.
Yeah. I mean, look, the bottom of the East, no for Cleveland, no for Chicago, no for Atlanta, no for the Knicks. Is it possible that the Heat get it together right now? It's possible. The makeup of that team, man, they're already guys got injured. Like, Dragic's already injured. All that. So I think the Wizards, look, they have a chance to turn this around and obviously leapfrog the Orlando Magic. So that's my one in the East. In the West, right now, seeing that's the thing. The Jazz and the Spurs and the Rockets are out. Right?
Yeah. Pelicans, Minnesota, San Antonio, Utah, and Houston are all out of the playoffs right now. I mean, if you have to pick one of those, it's got to be either Houston or Utah, right?
Actually, those are the two. I think that, and who's going to fall out? I'm the Grizzlies, I think, are just, and I'm knock on wood, man. I don't know if they can maintain this level of play because they depend on Conley and our boy Gasol. And then Portland is starting to show me some cracks, man. They've taken some really bad losses this season so far, so. I don't know. I hate Ben against Dame, but yeah, I'll say Memphis and Portland fall out.
All right. I would say maybe Dallas is definitely going to fall out. They're in the eighth seed. I would say Dallas, maybe Memphis, and yeah, Utah and Houston. Although Utah, man, I don't know if I'm buying it anymore. I'm a little worried. Houston, I expect to make a turnaround. Utah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. You want another? Dave Silver asks... At Dave Silver, this is clearly a play on the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast thing. But if you were Danny Ainge, what moves would you make right now? And I think we covered this earlier, but go ahead if you want to.
I mean, we did. I don't think there's much of a move to make right now. If you can, I'd say this: if you can find anyone to give you anything of value for Terry Rozier, Now, so that's the thing. Right now, there's no moves to make. Let's say things still are, they're kind of scuffling along by January, and that they just don't feel like, you know, they're always going to think that, you know, we always want a shot at winning a championship. Mm-hmm. If, you know, hey, if things are kind of scuffling along, they need a jolt by January, maybe, because I get it. You don't want Rozier just to walk, which is what exactly what it looks like it might happen if they keep him, you know, to the offseason. So, yeah, I don't have anything. I don't know. What you got?
No idea. I think we covered it earlier. I have no idea. I think the Celtics are just going to stay put. I don't think they're going to make any trades right now anyway. Give you one more. Gucci Matt at Matt Reed asks, do you think Vucevic will get traded this year? I don't think so. I think they're going to hold on to him. I don't see what the sense, unless you're trading him for, I don't even know, some top flight free agent. I don't know who you would trade him for that would make that team any better.
I mean, if they fall out of playoff contention, I can see them moving him, right? Which there's a good chance they will. I can see them moving him. But again, what team, what really good team wants Vucevic? I get it. Yeah. He's scoring and rebounding so well, but are you going to give him those touches on a team that, I don't know, Charlotte? Because Charlotte could use him.
Charlotte could use him. Charlotte could use him.
Charlotte could use him. So Charlotte, yeah.
All right. Who are they giving him return? Who are they taking back?
They want to unload the Batum contract, so I don't know. Charlotte would send him a pick also. I mean, that's still a lot of money, and
it's too much. in theory, like, you know, sometimes you think about, oh, this guy would be great on this team, and this guy, but you just can't make the pieces work. I don't know. I'd have to go do a deep dive and see what I could figure out, but not enough time for that here. James, we should probably go.
All right. How about, we'll save that question. Hey, my man at Marty McSweet, we'll save your question for the next show.
I'll give it. We'll do it real quick.
No, because it's kind of, we got to think and talk about it.
All right. Okay. Save it for next one.
So Marty, you're in next time, buddy.
First one up.
All right. Hey, for the Dunk Tales Pod, I'm James Hollis. That's Joe Borelli. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Snotty Drippin. He's at Joe Borelli. Not Joe Borelli. Was it NYC?
Yeah, that guy's a douche. If you like people who support our moron of a president, follow that guy. Don't follow me.
Also, you can support our Patreon. Our Patreon. We don't tweet that enough. Nah. That's why we're broke.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, well, we made it.
I mean, honestly, I could really use the money right now because I don't have a job. So feel free to send me money.
There you go. Let's tweet it out, man. So, hey, you know, hey, me and Joe give you mediocre basketball content. So give us money.
And my apologies, too, for not being more on point, because I've had time to work on this stuff and just have not.
Yeah, bro. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're out of here.
Peace.
Peace.